host Carly Bodrug, journalist turned food blogger and the girl behind the popular plant-based brand Plant You. Hello, I am back. We took a few week hiatus on the Plant Pod as I launched our new meal planner called Plant Genie. This was a true labor of love, and it took a lot more time than I expected for the launch, but I'm so happy I have finally carved out some time this week to get a new episode up. If you want to learn more about what I've been working on for like literally the last 2 years, you can find our meal planner at plantgenieapp.com or plantgenieapp on Instagram as well. Today's guest is super special. I am so excited to welcome Carly Pierce to the Plant Pod, who is a spiritual medium and teacher. When I first started this podcast, Carly immediately came to mind as a guest I was dying to have on because she has this really amazing energy about her. Her entire story is so interesting. Whether you believe in mediumship or not, I think there is a ton of value in this episode about living in alignment. Carly, otherwise known as Miss Intuition on her social channels, has had intuitive abilities since a very young age and is passionate about helping others heal using her connection to unseen realms. She also mentors other intuitives to tap into their own innate gifts. Before we delve in, I want to thank all of you for listening to the Plant Pod and sticking with me this last month. I appreciate it so much. If you're loving the pod, your reviews literally mean the world to me, so thank you. Thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. As well, if you enjoy this episode, consider taking a screenshot and sharing it in your stories so that we can share the love. Without further ado, I'm so excited to welcome Carly to the Plant Pod.
I'm so excited to be here with you. So exciting.
I think I should start by telling the story of how we got connected because it's actually very like surreal. So for anybody listening, Carly and I have the same name, obviously, but what happened was two pairs of blue light blocking glasses showed up at my parents' house, which is very near to Carly's place. And my mom thought they were for me because you have to understand that I get a lot of brands who send me stuff unsolicited. So my mom was like, oh, Carly, these glasses showed up for you. And I'm like, I didn't order any glasses or I haven't been in talks with any company. So anyways, the next time I saw my mom, she showed me them and they had Carly's name on them, like Carly Pierce and your address. And I'm like, mom, these are somebody else's glasses. And she was mortified. She's like, this person is probably waiting for their glasses. I thought they must be yours. And there was some sort of screw up. So my mom went and dropped them at Carly's house. And then she called me after. She's like, you need to follow this girl on Instagram. She's a medium and she does all this social media stuff. So I followed her. She followed me back. And it's just been like, it was so weird how that happened.
It was so like, obviously me being spiritual, I thought it was really synchronistic in a way because I just moved to the area somewhat recently. And I obviously don't know very many people around here. And so in a way I thought that the universe was like bringing us together in some sense, because that's never happened to me before. And I was like, and your mom was so like nice. And I was like, oh my God. And so, yeah, I followed you and I was like, wow, this girl's legit. But I feel like it's just so funny. I reflect on it all the time and I'm like, we're meant to meet. Like it's totally meant to be.
Yeah. And you guys have to understand that we live in like the country. So this is, nobody is on social media. Like nobody has social media platforms where we live. So for us two to be connected, I just think it was like, I agree. It was like, what did you use the word?
Like synchronistic. I know. It's like,
yes.
I love it.
So anyways, I want to start with hearing your journey and how you became, because you probably always were a medium, but how you found yourself to the place that you're at now.
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, it's definitely something that now I reflect on and understand that it has been something with me my entire life. And reflecting on my life as a child, especially, it makes a lot more sense to me that I do have these abilities, these extrasensory abilities, because yeah, as a child, I had many experiences that were very strange and unexplainable. And I didn't necessarily think that I was a medium because I was too young to understand that. I didn't even know what that meant. So I thought that these experiences that I was having were experiences that other people would have had. And so it didn't seem weird to me. It didn't seem abnormal, but growing up, you know, we build ego. So like after the age of like, you know, 9, 10, that's when our ego starts really building up and we kind of disassociate from, those, you know, innate abilities that we have and that I have. And so essentially I've always been connected to the spirit world, especially when I was little. And then growing up, I did lose a connection with it a little bit, just, you know, going through life, going through high school and college and my mind being elsewhere. But it was later after that, that it all sort of came back to me because like it really started again for me when I was going through a really hard time. I was really struggling with depression and anxiety and I was hospitalized for a couple of years and it was very difficult. And so when I was healing and I was taking courses like CBT courses and all of that stuff. And alongside that, my mom has always been really spiritual. She's always talked about angels. She's like at the age of 11, she was like doing my angel cards. So it was very normal for her to talk about those things. And so I remember one day she suggested to me that I outsource my healing practices and look for other things. So she essentially guided me to this random, shop that had like spiritual classes. And so I was like, you know what? I'm willing to try anything to feel better. So I'm just going to go. And so there I went. And after that day, my life changed because I was, I guess, more formally introduced to the spirit world yet again. And it all completely resonated with me. But I left that day and slowly after that, I started having these wild experiences again. I was seeing things and experiencing things. And of course, because I was going through a difficult time, I thought that I was just going crazy. I was like, I'm nuts. Like, here we go. This is the beginning of a whole other thing. But there was moments or things happening that it really started with like me seeing orbs or falling asleep, I would have flashes of visions of people's faces or of just things. And there was one night that I had a vision of an ambulance and it was so real. And I was just like, oh, I don't know what's going on with this. Like, I don't know if this is my dream or if this is really happening. But after that, the very next day, my boyfriend was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. And so I was like, okay. So I was like, that cannot be a coincidence. Like, what are the odds of that? So I kind of thought it was interesting, but I just kind of left it. And then later other things started to happen like that. And then I was like, hey, this is strange. And so I really started doing more research on the things that I was experiencing. And yeah, I found that what I was experiencing is what's called like clairvoyance and having extrasensory abilities and being in tune with realms and spirits that, you know, are no longer with us. So I was like, okay, I'm not really sure. Like, I'm just going to see where this goes. And I just kind of took it from there and took the reins on it and really decided like, this is something I feel like is my calling. I feel like this is something I can't ignore. And I did have a lot of reflection on my childhood and was like, whoa, like this all makes sense. And so I just started taking more classes and started developing and it kind of like took off from there. So yeah.
Can you speak to some of your experiences during your childhood that you now reflect on and are like, okay, that was like a sign of my intuitive abilities?
Yes. Yes. So there was one distinct time that I was at my relative's house. I was probably 8, I want to say. And it's engraved in my memory. It's so clear to me, which is very strange because that was so long ago. But what happened was I was at my relative's house. There was a get together and I was playing with all the kids and my relatives have like a really big yard. And so we were like towards the back of the yard and I randomly saw a boy that was not part of the crew that was there. And I was like, oh, he wants to play with us, but he was standing far away. And so I was like gunning to go over there. And then he started running away and ran around a bush, and then he was gone. And I was like, I just remember being so confused. I was like, was that the neighbor? Like, I thought that was the neighbor. So I was like, okay, maybe he doesn't want to play with us. That was weird. So I left it. But then I went and told my parents, and I was like, oh, there was a boy, and I think the neighbor's here and he wants to play. And, you know, I wanted him to come play with us. And they were like, no, like, there's no boy, like, neighbor. And so I was just kind of describing what he looked like and what happened, I guess. And my relatives overheard me saying this. And my Aunt Barb was really taken back because she started asking a question. She was like, well, what did he look like? And then I described what he looked like. And then she started bawling her eyes out. And I was like, at that age, I was really confused. I was like, did I do something wrong? Like, what happened? Like, I don't know what I said. And so I remember the party basically ended after that. And later I found out that she had a 10-year-old son that passed away. And that the way that I described the way that he looked, was exactly the way that he looked. And it just really struck a chord with her. And I really, to this day, I'm absolutely sure and certain that that was him. And so it was really, yeah, kind of dramatic in a sense, but I felt confused. So that was definitely one very clear time that I can remember seeing, alongside other times. Like, I remember I went on this school trip, and we were in Ottawa, and I don't know what we were doing there. I honestly don't remember, but I remember we were down by a river, and I saw a girl, and she looked like maybe like 19. I don't know, like some like teenager, older teenager to me at that time. And she was standing by the river, and I went and like wanted to like say hi or something, 'cause I was just like that child. And she just didn't reply. Like, she just stared at me. And I just remember being so confused. I was like, okay. So then like nothing happened. But then when I walked away, I like looked back and like, she wasn't there. And I was like, what? Like, and I just remember getting on the bus and looking out the window being like, what? Like, I was just so confused. And so that's where I'm like, those moments happened, and I just kind of let them go. I was kind of like, oh, well, like, I don't know what that was about. And feeling touched by spirits when I was little and things like that, nothing like too scary, but it was a little bit scary, obviously, as a child. But those are some like real examples as to like the kinds of experiences I had. So
in terms of clarifying like what you do, you describe it as a medium. Like, what's the difference between like psychic, medium, fortune teller, or are they all one in the same?
That's a great question. So I will answer this way. So basically the saying is that all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. And that is ultimately, I think, up to the person's vibration and what they decide they want to do with those abilities. I think that there are, you know, fortune tellers, I suppose, or psychics that, you know, perhaps don't want to be a medium, and they don't necessarily want to make those connections, and they want to just keep it strictly psychic channel, but really it's all coming from the same source. So, really, from my understanding, there isn't really a whole whack of a difference, but I do know that some psychics choose not to do mediumship. And I think that's morally a choice, because I do believe that everybody can do what I'm doing. I think that people are born with extrasensory abilities from a young age, or perhaps maybe stronger than others, but really there isn't really a difference. I guess fortune telling is just an old traditional term for a psychic. And it's not something that you hear a lot of anymore, but you know, when you're going like downtown Toronto, let's say, you'll see like a shop and it's like fortune telling with like a palm on the window. And it's like, there are people out there that have that sort of style, I suppose, or they, you know, play the part, but that isn't a term that I use a lot.
So palm reading, is that something that you do?
No, but it does fascinate me. It honestly scares me a little bit because I have had friends that have had palm readings done and they were traumatized by their experience. And so I think, I don't know, I have like mixed feelings about it. I'm interested to learn it. I do want to learn it, but I don't know that I see myself doing it. I'm not sure.
And then how does this fit into astrology? Like, are these completely separate things or do you work within that as well?
Yeah, no, astrology fascinates me and it isn't something I have dove into full force at this point. However, I have studied it and I am currently studying it a little bit more anyways. It's definitely one of those things though, that is, it takes years to really understand how astrology works. Now, some people may catch on to it really quick and really understand it, but others like myself, I do need time to sort of let the information soak in so that I can really understand. And yeah, so it is something I'm very interested in and I am learning more about. With that said, what is your sun sign, like your zodiac sign?
I'm a Taurus. My birthday is this weekend, actually.
Oh my gosh. That's so fun. I love that. Oh my gosh. So yeah. Anyways, I just was curious to know. I always like to ask people. Now, I will say though, what I've learned and what I want to share with the people listening is that, you know, if you've ever struggled to connect with your zodiac sign or your sun sign, it is probably because there are so many more components that make up your birth chart. So there is so many more signs and placements that totally make up who you are. And so if you don't connect with that sun sign or that zodiac sign, you may not actually have, there's like what's called degrees in a birth chart. So if somebody is at like a 1 degree in a Taurus, let's say, then you may not actually feel connected to Taurus energy. You may not resonate with Taurus energy because you're right on the line of perhaps a different zodiac sign. So that is what I can share with those of you that are listening, that, cause I know that that's often a question I get is, I know I'm an Aries, but I don't resonate with it. And so, yeah, I just thought I would throw that out there, but astrology is fascinating. And I think that everybody can learn something from having an astrology reading. I think it's so cool.
So when you meet with clients, is it usually to connect with loved ones who have passed on?
Yes. So typically a reading is, I would say that there are people that come to me that don't necessarily have an interest to connect with people who have passed, or perhaps they don't have people who have passed that they were close enough with. So that reading may entail just more psychic intuitive channeling versus, yeah, a lot of people do come for a reading in hopes to hear from a loved one in spirit. And so that's mainly what makes up a reading, I suppose.
And so when you meet people like on the street or you meet with friends, are those loved ones presenting themselves or is it only when you kind of like tap into those abilities?
Yes, great question. So yes, so basically for me, I went a lot of my life not necessarily being tapped in all the time. So I had those moments where I saw spirits and it was super surreal and it happened, you know, a lot of times, but I am not that medium that goes to the grocery store and, you know, tells the person across from me about their loved ones. First of all, that's inappropriate. That's just my opinion. I don't think that's appropriate, but also, I feel like it's one of those things that is a light switch. And for me, I am happy that I have that control and that it's more intentional for me. Like I have to sit down and focus and tune in versus, you know, just picking up somebody random. Now I have had that happen to me like many times in a restaurant or like the airport or something. I'll sit beside someone and I'll feel something, not necessarily always see, but feel something or have like a strong knowing and feeling about something. So, but I never really go out of my way to share those things with people because the mentor that I had was really adamant that that is a little bit inappropriate because you don't know if this person is ready to hear a message or if they want to hear a message or if this kind of thing is their thing. Like perhaps they're against this kind of thing and you're just going up and sharing that with them. And that could be kind of traumatic for somebody. So I choose not to do that. However, I do have feelings and things happen around people from time to time.
And so when you do a reading, how do they, and you're tapped in, how does that typically present? Like, I'm imagining like the person over the other person's head. Like, what does that look like?
I love that question. I know it's so fun to explain because people often wonder this. They're like, but how? Like, when you say that, what does that mean? Or what does that look like? So yeah, basically for me personally, I see the spirit world very clearly with my eyes closed. So when I begin a reading, I will close my eyes and I will tune in. And what that entails is basically mediums and psychics are working with what's called the clairs. So there's different types of abilities that you're working with to receive that information. So for me, one of my strongest is clairvoyance. So when I close my eyes, I will be presented with a silhouette of somebody. It's not always like them in 3D of like, I know exactly what they look like in their lifetime sometimes, but sometimes it's just a silhouette. And that is what's called clairvoyance. It's the ability to see. And then also you're working with clairaudience, which is the ability to hear. So, but when I say hear, sometimes rarely it could be an external voice. Like I may hear, you know, a man's voice, but typically it is my own voice in my head. And so that's where you have to learn to discern whether it's your ego or if it's spirit. So that is another way that I connect with spirit, is tapping in and listening and being quiet and in that space and in the zone so that I can hear messages come through. And then also there is a clairsentience and claircognizance, which are both feeling and knowing. So you may have all of a sudden just this feeling. So for me, when I begin a reading, I typically feel pain that somebody felt like when they passed. So that's typically how I'm, you know, told how they passed is through my body, which is a little bit, it sounds scary, but it's really not. It lasts like a couple seconds. And then there's also the ability to just know something. All of a sudden you just know, but you have no idea how you know it. You just do. And so when I say I'm tapping in, that's kind of what I'm working with, is like all of those clairs. And essentially I have to use all of them to relay the messages to the person that I'm sitting with. So I guess that's the best way I can explain it.
That makes perfect sense. And when you talk about the spirit realm, I mean, there's such a fear of dying. Like, I'm terrified of dying. I'm not a particularly religious person, so I don't have this like thought of that I'm floating up to heaven or that my loved ones are. But what in your opinion happens then when people pass on?
So yeah, and totally fair. I, you know, at times I don't fear dying now. I fear dying young because I want to live. I want to live my life, but not necessarily what the process of dying is. I'm not necessarily afraid of that anymore. But from what I understand, it's, you know, we are eternal beings. We are so much more than just a physical body. And, you know, if you've ever heard people, you know, explain their life after death experiences, people who have died and come back, it's very aligned with what I connect with spirit, or what I've learned from spirit. So it can be a very scary thought, but from what I understand, we, you know, see a light, and a very bright one. It's very warm, and we don't want to leave that light. We want to go directly to it. And other people have had other experiences where they're maybe met at the gate with God, or perhaps they're meeting with a loved one that they haven't seen in a long time that's passed. So it's very individual with different experiences, but I have a lot of clarity around it, and I don't feel as afraid of it anymore, because when you're actually in that process of passing away, you are not afraid. Like, you aren't afraid at all, from what I understand. It's just morally the thought, our ego thought, is like terrified.
So when you're in a reading, is it in some cases that the spirit the person is wanting to connect with won't show up? Like, do you think there's different realms in which the person is not necessarily going to present themselves or can't?
Yes. I mean, I don't want to write that off and say like, it's not possible. Now, I have done readings, you know, many times, obviously I've done this for a while now, and rarely it happens where somebody comes and says afterwards, like, oh, I didn't hear from this person, or why didn't this person come through? Like, if I have an hour with somebody, I can typically get through a lot of different spirits around them. So that hasn't happened to me, you know, a lot where somebody has said, oh, you know, is somebody else here that wants to talk to me? Now, it has happened to me before. But I think that it is possible that a spirit chooses to take a step back. Now, I had my own experience, one of my first experiences ever having a reading before I launched myself into this world myself. I had that reading done, and it was a little bit interesting because the guy had said to me, like, oh, your grandfather is here, but he is keeping an arm's length from you. Like, he doesn't really want to come forward. And it really broke my heart, to be honest. And I had a really difficult relationship with him. So I felt like that just made me more sad, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so it was just a little bit sad. And so I don't know. I feel like some mediums, you know, may disagree with me, but I feel like when we pass, we don't have judgment and we don't have ego. So we're not standing there being like, I'm judging you and I'm holding resent against you, so I'm not coming forward. Because as a spirit, as an eternal soul, we don't have those same thoughts and same judgments. So I don't know, for, you know, some cases there may be reasons, but I feel like most of the time people do step forward because they have come to peace with not having ego and not having resent and having no issue to come forward. But I have had spirits that are a little bit quieter, that do stand back and that don't necessarily have a lot to say. But that could be for various reasons. Perhaps they weren't close with the person, or, you know, maybe that this reading particularly, they needed to hear from somebody else more. So I think there's multiple factors and why that could be. But for me myself, I haven't had a lot of people come and say, oh, you know, I didn't hear from this person. Like, why not? So yeah, like I said, I feel like other mediums could disagree, but that's just my experience.
Can you tune in to speak to a loved one who has passed? Like, do you talk
for me,
to your,
yes,
like, grandma at night?
Yes, 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 yes. Oh my gosh. No, I was like, right now? But honestly, yeah, like, I guess I can. So here's what I'll say about that is that even last night, I was meditating and I made this connection with my grandfather, and I felt like his presence was there, and I was like, okay, he's here. And so I have many times connected with my own loved ones. I think that is the cool thing about being a medium, is that you absolutely have that ability to, like, why not? There is no reason that you wouldn't be able to, but it isn't as validating as hearing it from somebody you don't know. So in times where I do feel like I really miss somebody, I will connect with them on my own time. And I think it's so cool that I can do that. I think it's just comes down to really believing that that connection is real and that you're really having that connection with them, if that makes sense. So yeah, right. I have many times I have connected with people that I've missed dearly, you know, so it's really cool. I like that about being a medium, is that I have that ability.
You mentioned earlier that you feel that everybody has some sort of ability to kind of tap into these intuitive powers. What are some signs that for people who have lost loved ones who aren't necessarily mediums, that their loved ones are, like, with them or safe?
Oh, I love that question. This is great. Honestly, there are so many different ways that our loved ones do try to come and communicate with us and try to show us that they're around and that they're present. And so for those of you listening that do wonder this, I can start by saying, like, you know, not writing off certain circumstances as coincidences or synchronicities. Like, when you're driving in your car and, you know, you're having a bad day and the song comes on that your grandpa listened to day in and day out and reminds you of them, comes on the radio, it's not a coincidence at all. That is their way of saying, hi, I'm here, I'm still here for you. And, you know, they do come through oftentimes in different various signs. Like, I know popular ones to be like finding feathers, finding dimes or, you know, coins in random places that you would not typically find a coin, and through synchronistic numbers. So seeing repeated numbers is a very popular one. I know that a lot of people experience that. And there's so many different ways that they do try. And another way I know a lot of people have experienced this, just through my clients, have shared that they have had dream visitations from their loved ones. And typically a dream visitation may not actually be a conversation with them. typically a loved one coming through in a dream is just them being completely like silent. They may not say anything in the dream, but it's just their way of saying hello and that they're around. So yeah, there are tons of different ways. And those are just like the very common ways that they're trying to send signs. And just knowing that any sort of feelings or overwhelmed feelings that you may get in times where all of a sudden you think of them and then you feel like you're going to burst into tears, like their soul is with you in that moment. So I think it's just being somebody who's really in tune and self-aware. And like I said, not necessarily writing off certain circumstances as coincidences, because that's how easily signs can be missed, is they really can be missed super easily. And I can understand that some people are very receptive to them and then other people may not be as receptive to them. And it doesn't mean you can't be receptive to them. Like, you can totally open it up and say, hey, spirit, I really want you to show me a rose. I know that like it can get as fun as, for example, one day I was like, I really want a sign, spirit. And, you know, I want you to say my name on the radio and then I'll know it's you. And then, you know, the same day I get in my car and, one of Carly Rae Jepsen's song came on the radio and they were like, Carly Rae Jepsen. I was like, oh my God, they said the name. Yeah. So I was like, wow. So it can be really fun. Like, you can kind of have your own dialogue with the spirit world and your loved ones and say, show me this, or send me this. And I know many clients of mine do that. And it's really fulfilling when that happens. It's like, oh my God.
For people listening, how can they kind of lean into those intuitive parts of themselves and kind of tune into this?
Yeah. So if any of you are listening that have sort of any empathic symptoms or traits, highly sensitive people tend to be able to connect with the spirit world very easily. Now, if you're not a highly sensitive person, it does not mean you can't, but it just may be easier for those of you who are. And so I will say that one way you can start to dial into, you know, other realms and your loved ones is through, you know, self-development. Like, being self-aware is a huge part of that process. And I think that that's when your connections will become super strong, is when you have done a lot of hard work on yourself. And in the spiritual world, there's what's called shadow work. And that is essentially facing the parts of ourselves that are extremely uncomfortable. And, you know, there is another term that I'm going to throw out there that's called spiritual bypassing, which is, you know, some people use spirituality to go, you know, oh, well, I'm having a bad day, but like, all love and light, it's all positive, I'm going to be just fine. And perhaps that does work in moments, but that can only work to a certain point. And that's why shadow work is a really big part of developing as a medium or developing as a psychic. So I want to say, definitely dive into those uncomfortable shadow sides of yourself if you're really wanting to develop these abilities, because it's going to accelerate that process times a million. And also meditation is a huge part. Now, I know that meditation can be difficult for some people, including myself. I used to sit down to meditate in hopes to create a stronger connection with the spirit world. And I would get so frustrated. I would legit cry because I was like, I can't do it. Like, I can't meditate because my mind is just so busy. And when you really stick with it, it really does make a difference. And meditation is everything if you do want to connect with the spirit world. And meditation is a great way to begin to connect with not only settling your mind, but building a connection with the mind, body, spirit. It's like really that divine connection between all three of those things that is really going to have that connection with the spirit world be really strong. So there are definitely a lot of ways. I would say, you know, even eating healthy is a huge part of that. I had to change a lot of the things and habits that I was doing in my life to raise my vibration. And I think when you are trying to develop to do this kind of thing, really your goal is to raise your vibration. And how do you do that? You do that through self-care. You do that through self-care practices and self-development and eating well and taking care of your body and your mind and your spirit. So I think that's the best way I can kind of sum it up. And of course, taking any development courses, there's tons of intuitive courses online and teachers, and even taking meditation classes, like all of those things are going to help like majorly.
Do you think animals have spirits? I mean, do you see animals come through sometimes?
You know what? I have, and it's really cool. It's not something that happens a ton, but it has happened to me more than a few times. And it's really special when it does. Now, of course, my ego is like an animal's talking to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel kind of silly. And even I disclose to the client, I'm like, I know this sounds a little bit out there, but like your dog is here and he has something to say or whatever. And, you know, but it's just so beautiful because pets are like children, you know? So I feel like it is just as important to, you know, bring those spirits through if you are noticing them. So I always make an effort to let the client know that there is an animal present and that they may have a message, even though my ego is like, you sound ridiculous.
Your business name, and you go by Miss Intuition. Can we talk a little bit about intuition and how it kind of relates to all of this and how people can learn to trust their intuition? Because I think I struggle with this as well.
Yes, I love this. So yeah, intuition, it's, I mean, building a connection with your intuition is very much alongside the things that I just mentioned. Like, they go hand in hand, whether you want to develop as a medium and to be a psychic, those things that I mentioned are going to help you do that. But also all of those things are going to help you build a connection with your intuition. But intuition, to put it as simply as possible, essentially we all have like our soul. Our soul is in our body. And our intuition is an extension of our soul in that it is the way that our soul can communicate to us. So really understanding that is the first part. And then really making an effort to connect with your higher self. And when I say that, it's like our higher self is us before the world got to us when we were born and we're innocent and we're our true eternal soul. And it's like, that's what's so beautiful. Like if you think about children, they're just themselves. Like they just say what they want. They're like, I want to be this when I grow up. And they have no ego or boundaries with what makes sense. They just are themselves. And I think that's what's so beautiful about children and what they can teach us. But that's essentially, you know, doing the inner child work and connecting with that source energy and that purity that you have within you through meditation and through nature. I want to say nature is our greatest teacher. And like the more time you spend in silence outside, the more that you're going to hear your intuition. And that can come through the clairs. So that maybe all of a sudden you have a feeling and that's your intuition being like, ding, ding, ding. Or you just have a thought out of nowhere and your intuition's like, I want you to consider this. And so in terms of listening to it, I think it's important to also reflect on the times that you didn't listen to it, because it really helped me when I reflected and was like, the last time I felt this way, I didn't listen to it. So now this time I'm going to listen to it. And so I think it just takes a lot of reflection to understand how your intuition works, because everybody's different. But I think that it takes those times that we don't listen to really get what it means to listen and what it means to have a connection with your intuition and what that feels like. So I guess that's the best way I can explain it.
What for you... So it's anxiety and depression that kind of was the catalyst to you reconnecting with spirit. Do you feel like it was because you weren't living aligned with how you were supposed to?
Yes. Oh my gosh. You're amazing. 100%. Yeah, definitely. I think that it was almost this epiphany of, I remember because I used to work for Lululemon for like 4.5 years, and I had this sort of epiphany in my car one day after work. And I was like, I am so disconnected from myself. I don't feel good. And so reflecting on my journey, yes, absolutely. That was a moment in my life that my soul and my intuition was like, you are not where you're supposed to be in your life. You need to redirect. And I made the hard choice to go on a leave of absence to heal and to get better with my depression. And luckily I had the support of the company, which was amazing. And, you know, after that, you know, with everything that had happened when I was healing, I ultimately decided that going back was going the wrong way, I suppose. And my intuition was like, as much as this job is amazing, there's something else out there for you. And so I just kind of listened to it and yeah, just followed through with it. And I think that's where it kind of led me here. And I'm so glad that I didn't go back to that, because I think my life may have looked a lot different But it's just, it's unbelievable to think about the journey, because my intuition was like screaming at me, being like, you need to go in a different direction. And like I said, when you really start reflecting on all of the experiences you have in life, you really start realizing how everything does puzzle piece together, and how all of our experiences shape us for a reason and lead us somewhere for a reason. So yeah, I regret nothing, but I'm very grateful that I went through that depressing time, because it ultimately led me here. So
I had a similar experience. I worked in like a corporate type job before I pursued Plant U, and I was facing like a lot of inner resistance to leaving that, because I had great benefits and maternity leave and whatever else. And but when you said your soul was screaming, like, that's how I felt. I'm like, I need to pursue this. I need to pursue this. And then like the other person on my shoulder was like, no, don't. But anyways, what happened that was just, this is one of the weirdest things that's ever happened in my life, is my dad was working out at the YMCA, which is strange to begin with, but he went and saw that they had books available for like, you can take one and leave one. And he picked up this book called The Alchemist, and he read the back and he said, this sounds exactly like Carly. And he gave me the book, and the book was all about pursuing your, like, what you need to be doing in your life. And like, I read the book and it was just the most surreal thing. I think I left my job maybe 2 weeks after reading it, but the whole thing was just the strangest experience of my life. And it was like, I was being smacked in the face with it. But again, I feel like some of us won't listen to that. Like, it took a lot for me to come to terms with that. That's what I need to do. And I feel like we put ourselves through so much resistance. And I guess that is ego, right?
100%. Our ego totally disrupts those moments. And that's where it's like, don't write off moments that feel oddly synchronistic to you, or like, you know, like just almost like, is this a sign? Like, if you're asking yourself that, it definitely is. And I think that what you shared there, it's just so inspiring and amazing, because that's exactly what it feels like. And I'm so happy to hear that you can relate to that feeling and understand in real life what that feels like, to have your soul and intuition being like, hello. And it isn't easy to follow through with it. And I commend you for doing that, because obviously look at what you've created. And well, thanks to your dad, but he had an intuitive moment. He listened to himself in that moment. And what if he hadn't, you know? So it's like, really, you know, picking apart that scenario can be like a little bit mind-boggling, and it's so beautiful and amazing. And I think that it's just, if you want to be somebody that has more clarity in those moments, I would say slow down your life and really get clear on what lights you up. And if there are any aspects to your life that feel dreadful, that is a sign that you are out of alignment. And that is the easiest way I can explain it to clients and people I mentor, is that if you feel a sense of dread, it's definitely a sign that there is something off, and that's something to, you know, take a look at and reflect on. But that's a perfect example of what you shared, because that's exactly what it feels like. And I sometimes wish that there was an easier way to get people to understand what this feels like, but you almost have to live in that moment yourself to really get it.
It is. It's like when you said like the soul, like smacking you in the face, I'm like, yes, like I have so felt that. So that's the best way to describe it. Another thing I want to ask, you have so many amazing offerings, and I want to go into that in a bit, but you, along with this, you are psychic. So sometimes I think you have business readings and stuff like that. I'm so interested in the visual aspect. So if you're reading someone like for future things, yes, maybe a relationship or their business, like how does that come through to you?
So it comes through the same way that a spirit does, essentially. Now the feeling is different. So I do one-on-one mentoring with different students who do want to pursue this kind of path. And this is something that I explain to them, but the feeling of experiencing a psychic moment versus a mediumship moment is completely different. Like when I'm contacting a spirit, it's just an unbelievable different vibe versus psychic. It's very, I don't know how to explain it. It's very like straightforward and like, yes. And mediumship can be a little bit more, I guess like a more emotional of the connection, I suppose that's the best way I can explain it. but the way that I receive the information in that setting is the same. So when I'm doing more psychic work with somebody or doing more psychic reading on somebody, I typically will see, you know, a month to share with the person of like, you know, something significant will happen in this month, or if they're asking about a timeline that I can kind of share what I'm seeing, because, you know, but I will say though, something that I really wanted to stick by when I decided this was the path in life I wanted to take and I wanted to help people with this ability, I did not want to be that sort of fortune telly sort of psychic gimmicky, like, you know, that kind of thing. And what I really mean by that too is that I don't always feel good telling people what to do or telling people like, this is what's going to happen for sure, because at the end of the day, we have free will choice. So what I'm seeing, you know, it could happen, but it may not happen. It just depends on a whole lot of factors. And so, you know, obviously, you know, psychic work is real. And obviously there are a lot of things that have come through that have happened. And it's, you know, very interesting when it does, but I really want to empower my clients and the people I work with or do readings for. I really want to use this ability and give them hints, but make it so that they can make those decisions on their own rather than me being like, this is what you need to do. And this is when, and this is what's going to happen with your entire life. Because I don't feel like that serves people. I feel like that people can get really fixated on that information. And I know firsthand certain people that have had readings by other psychics that have said, you know, this is going to happen and this is when it's going to happen. And I just have to remind them, like, it may, but it may not. So just take it with a grain of salt. So I think it's important to disclose that while I have this opportunity, so that those of you know that, you know, others, I want to say psychics have their own way of channeling this information. And I just go about it in a more guidance way and a very empowering way, not like this, this and that, if that makes sense.
100%. And you probably get asked this all the time, but did you see any signs of like COVID lockdown for a year happening?
Yeah. You know what? It's so wild because on like right before 2020, on New Year's, cause I didn't do anything on New Year's. I just stayed home and I really wanted to do my own like meditation ritual and just kind of get clear on the year ahead. And just kind of, yeah, interestingly enough, I just wanted to see into the year ahead. And spirit often uses symbols to communicate with me. So it's sometimes metaphorical. They're not always very specific in that I wasn't seeing like, you know, hospitals packed and things like that. But what I did see when I asked, I'm like, what is this year going to entail as a collective, like as a globe? And I saw a tornado. So I remember coming out of my office and telling my boyfriend, I'm like, oh, I just did a meditation. I asked about 2020. And I feel like it's going to be really chaotic because I saw a tornado and that's just what I associate with chaos. So I was like, I feel like this is going to be like a really like bad year. And just politically, I was picking up on a lot of riots. I was having visions of people holding signs and riots and things like that. So I did note that down in my journal, but yeah, I was not surprised when all of this was happening, but I will say I am a little bit taken back by how long this has gone on.
I think we all are.
Yeah. And one of the first questions I get asked lately is, do you know when COVID's going to end? I'm like, oh gosh, it's a touchy question. I don't want to get people's hopes up, but I do feel like the end is near. I will say that, but yeah.
It's true though, like the length of time, especially in Canada. I mean, like it seems to have kind of calmed down elsewhere, but we're still in the thick of it. So it's just
like even worse than before, like even worse than the first time. I'm like, how is this happening?
I'm interested when you mention your boyfriend. I mean, being in a relationship as someone so intuitively like deep in it, that's got to be interesting. Like, how does he tune into this? Does he kind of stay out of it? How does that work?
I love that. I love that question. He would laugh. So basically he isn't necessarily like spiritual. Like he's definitely, he believes in the afterlife. He believes everything aligned with my beliefs as well. And he totally believes in me. He totally has seen firsthand the impact that I've made on people's lives and the things that, you know, have come up in readings and this and that. And, you know, at first I remember him being like, really? Like, okay, like you are psychic? Like, oh my God. Like, and so in hindsight, he's not surprised because, you know, a whole lot of things made sense, you know, in reflecting on that, but he handles it well. He's very neutral. He asks me about it, but he's not like crazy about it. He's not meditating or like, you know, practicing this himself or even getting readings for that matter. He's not interested, but he's like totally open. He's so open and so supportive. I am so grateful to have him because I know a lot of partners may not understand, you know, this choice of work or this path that I've chosen for myself. And even alongside that, I am so grateful because my family supports me and his family supports me. And that I just can't even wrap my mind around because I do know other, you know, mediums and friends that I have that don't have that support from their partners, husbands, boyfriends, or family for that matter. So I just feel so grateful that at least he's open. And like, even last night he came to me and he was like, oh my gosh, you got to come outside. You got to come outside. And then he had this like big dirt pile because he's in landscaping. And basically in the middle of the dirt, there was these trilliums, these three trilliums, and he has three loved ones on the other side that he's really close with. And the trilliums, because he has a cottage up north in Muskoka, and around his cottage, he has all these trilliums, and his grandma, he was really, really close with, loved these trilliums. And so it reminds him of her. And so last night he was like, you got to come like see this sign. And so he was really excited to show me. And so like, he believes in signs, like he gets those things and, you know, he will bring me crystals and he'll buy me singing bowls and he will totally support me in that way, but he's not at all spiritual and like practicing his own things, if that makes sense. But I'm just so grateful that he's so supportive.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that's so cute about the trilliums. Oh my gosh. My fiance, like, very similar in that he's not like in the thick of what I do, but always been like my number one supporter. And I think in some sense, that can work so well because you don't have to work with them, but with someone by your side supporting you is always such a good feeling. One thing I do want to ask is one question we got in the question box yesterday is how to tell if a medium or a psychic medium isn't legitimate, like if you might be getting scammed.
Okay, yeah, that's a really great question because I have had other clients ask me this, especially recently. For some reason it's come up a lot. And I think some signs to look out for is when, especially on Instagram or on social media in general, no matter what platform, if you have a psychic medium message you and say, you know, I'm offering readings and this and that, like if they're reaching out to you and asking you to be a client or to have a reading, it's sketchy for sure, because I'm never going out of my way to like be like, hey, you random, I want to read for you and it's only $5. I feel like it's definitely clear with people's intentions, especially because I have had a lot of people doing fake accounts of mine and messaging people being like, I do readings for $10. I'm like, oh no, that's so not me at all. That's so not legit. And so that's one sort of way that people can kind of take notice if they are getting messages on social media like that. It's definitely sketchy. And also I have had clients and friends that have been lured into situations where they, you know, I guess go to this psychic medium and they're like, you have spell, or I have to put a spell on you, or you have bad energy around you. And in order for me to get rid of that energy, you have to pay me $1,300.
Oh,
and
people
get so scared when they hear that they will literally pay for it. And it's so sad. And that's definitely, I mean, that's a little bit more obvious, I think, but I don't blame people for getting wrapped up in that. I don't want to put anybody down if they have had that happen to them, because I can completely understand how. So that's another red flag. And I want to say as well, when, you know, if somebody wants to do a reading for you, or if they're reaching out to you or whatever, however it happens, if the information is very generic, like I want to say that's definitely, not great mediumship, not great psychic. And I don't want to put anyone down because, you know, no reading is perfect, but obviously that is something to consider if you've had an experience and it just wasn't, you know, very detailed. You just can kind of tell. I feel like it's very gimmicky the way that the not legitimate people go about that sort of thing. So I guess that's the best way I can explain it.
One thing that just came popped into my head that I want to ask about is, do you see a lot of people in the community? And I've heard about this when I worked in North Bay, is like a psychic assisting police in investigations. Like, does that happen often?
Oh my gosh. When I first got into this kind of thing, I was so fascinated by that idea because I was like, this is so cool. And they really should be utilizing people that have these gifts to help find missing people or help with cases. And I do know that police do use people, but they use them anonymously. They can't come to any sort of case and say, we had a psychic tell us that this person was here. Now they could mention that, but it's not legitimate because there's no evidence, right? So I feel like police shy away from ever exposing that they use that as a tool sometimes, but I would love to help with that kind of thing one day. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, I think I heard from a guy in North Bay who sees the psychic who assisted. So I feel like it wasn't public knowledge that they were using this as assistance. So you're probably right. That would never be publicized. But that was so interesting to me because it's probably an unused tool to tap into, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that... from what I understand, because I actually did research on this at one point, and I do have a friend that has parents that are police officers and they're sergeants in downtown Toronto. And I believe there was sort of something communicated anyways that they do know that this is something people do and police officers do use. But yeah, like I said, and like you said, it's not considered legitimate in like a case. So they have to be careful about what they expose of that. And it's more something that they use on their own terms. And then they investigate it. And if it so happens to be correct, then that's miraculous and cool. But there would be nothing really to come from that, I guess, for the medium. It would just be helpful. So I know a lot of mediums and psychics really become passionate about that and actually want to help. And I think that's really, really cool. I think it's an awesome tool that more people should get behind, because why not try? You know, it could change everything in a case or a situation.
100%. I'd love to hear for our listeners, especially about the different offerings that you have. First of all, you have this amazing Instagram page, which I would suggest that everyone follows. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's Miss Intuition. But can you talk a little bit about the current offerings that you have?
Yeah, for sure. So right now I do readings. So I offer 1 hour long readings or half an hour readings. And so you can actually book directly from like my Instagram bio and my website. I have a calendar and you can pick the day, time, availability. So I do offer those. And then I also offer tarot card readings, oracle card readings. And I am very passionate at this point in my journey about mentoring other people that want to pursue this path, like I've briefly mentioned. So that is something I'm offering at this time. I have different packages and different programs, but it's also, I intuitively lead my business. So it's not always super structured in that way. But yeah, I definitely love to do the coaching. I love the mentoring aspect of my business. So that's something that's really fun. And then I do a lot of events and like one night sort of circles or just fun little events. And then also do courses. Sometimes I offer 5-week courses on intuition or mediumship or tarot. So a lot of different offerings right now. And I'm really, really excited about the things that I'm going to be up to, and especially in the next few months. So you can actually just see everything directly from my website, but that's generally what I'm offering at the moment. So
amazing. Thank you so much, Carly, for coming on the Plant Pod. This has just been like such a pleasure. And I hope we can like do it again, because I feel like there's so much we could delve into.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I appreciate this opportunity. I just love your energy. You have such beautiful energy. And I would love to come back for another episode and perhaps do a reading. Who knows? But yeah, thank you so much for holding the space for me. And yeah, thanks for everybody that listened.
Well, folks, that is it. Another Plant Pod episode in the books. And this was really one of my favorites. That hour went by so quick with Carly, and it felt like speaking to an old friend. She just is so fantastic. You can find Carly on her social channels, Instagram. I love her Instagram page at Miss Intuition. I would highly recommend following her. Tune in next week. We'll have another episode for you. And thanks again for spending some time with me.